Hurry, hurry, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Off Stage and On the Air, performance number 487. I am Lisa Sheps. I will be your host for this evening. I am joined by all of my guests because I have no official co-host today. You are listening to us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby. You guys just stay right where you are and do not go away. We will be right back.
Hurry, hurry, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Yeah. Step right up, feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh yeah.
Catherine, you put out the light.
And it is Wednesday, October 17th, 2018. On the show today, we have the shortest film festival in the theater festival in the world, 1448. And then we're also going to talk to Theater on Block and their show Until the Flood by Dale Olandersmith. And of course, we are going to have lively discussions of the world of theater in Austin, New York, Chicago, Boise, and Tim Bucktu. Don't go away.
Beginning in sight. Here in the shadows, words can assemble. Pencil and paper, see how I tremble. Mama,
a writer writes at night. Yes. Welcome to the show. We had just finished a lovely rendition of International Folk Bazaar. Kim Simpson did another wonderful job, and I am flying solo today, and yet not somehow. I have a group of people here that are going to help me bring this show in. And I'm going to call this a pretty special show today. We're going to have a lot of fun on today's show. And I want to just shout out to Miss Nicole Shiro, who is feeling a little bit under the weather. And we do have some weather going on here. What do y'all think of the weather? We pros or con? I'm pro.
Con.
Pro. Con. Pro. Depends. Okay, yeah. Lots of people are pro, lots of people are con. I'm not con. I mean, I'm not pro of all the crazy flooding, but I like the cold. Don't hate the rain. I would have preferred a little fall before winter, but
right. Right. But it's Austin. We just have to skip over seasons.
Not
we
don't a big,
it's summer, yeah, summer, winter, summer, winter.
Summer, winter, summer, winter. All right. Well, let's introduce the disembodied voices that you've been listening to here. Standing to my left is Chad Dyke. Hi, Chad.
Hi.
Max Lengert, local playwright extraordinaire.
Hello.
Sweet Van Loan. Hi, Sweet.
Hi there.
Florinda Bryant, the incomparable.
Hello.
And also the incomparable Jenny Lavery.
Hey.
Actually, we're all incomparable. We have pretty much an all-star group here today.
There you go.
So we're going to not dispense with our normal conversation about theater in general, but we are going to do an experiment here on Offstage and On the Air. We're going to demonstrate what one of our guests is doing. They will be actually speaking to us on the second half of the show. But 1448 is a theater festival where plays are written, produced, and performed in 24 hours, twice. And so one of the playwrights, Chad, you're shaking your head as if I said something wrong.
No, I'm shaking my head because I can't believe that we actually do it sometimes. Why do you do this to yourself? Right?
So here's what we're gonna do. Max Lengert, who is one of the fabulous playwrights as part of the festival this year, has agreed. Don't know why you agreed to do this.
It was his idea.
So we are going to actually at the start of our show. Right now, we're going to choose a theme, which is how 1448 starts. Is on Thursday night, a theme will be chosen. The playwrights will go and write overnight. I don't want to say too much because we're going to talk about it later. But for today's show, we're going to choose a theme. We've polled folks here at the studio, and we have a hat or something with themes in it. And Florinda Bryant is going to choose a theme out of this bag. Max Lengert is then going to go outside for the next half hour and write a play that we here in the studio will perform. So, Florinda, what is the theme?
Winston tastes good.
Oh, my God.
How?
Sorry, can you,
that is can you so funny. Winston Tastes Good wow. is the theme.
Okay. Winston Tastes Good.
How do you feel about that, Max?
I don't know. I'm picturing
who's Winston?
Winston Churchill, and I'm not sure what to do with
that. Okay, well, it's open to interpretation. Okay. So we're going to send you away and go right.
Who came up with this one?
That was me. Oh, okay. That was me, and I was it totally a long shot.
No one blame that.
I'm excited.
Okay, so you go out and write. We'll check in with you a little bit later. So I have to say, Winston Tastes Good is a commercial. So I'm just going to throw out that I'm probably the oldest one in this room. Winston Tastes Good Like a Cigarette Should was the theme or the slogan for Winston cigarettes, and that's where that came from. So I apologize to the world for that, but that's good. Poor Max. I was really sort of hoping some of those others that we came up with would pop up.
That's what this Should've. Festival is. You never know.
Yeah. We had some really great ones, which we can talk about later. Yeah. When we talk to you, we can say the things that we didn't choose. So we had no Broadway openings this week, but we did have an off-Broadway. We had several off-Broadway openings that were of note, but we're only going to talk about one. Stocker Channing in Apologia. Which I love the name of it, it's at the Laurel Peels Theater, and it is a I thought it was a roundabout, but it's not. So the Laurel Pels Theater, what are Peels? You know, I know somebody named Laurie Peel, so it all comes down to what happens in my feeble little brain. So here's it is a roundabout show. Here's what Roundabout says about this show: you do not mess with Kristen Miller. In the 1960s, she was a radical activist and political protester, now a celebrated historian. The publication of her memoir threatens to split her family apart, but Kristen has never been one to shy away from a fight. So it is exactly as you said, it's one of these family things where people come in and conflict arises. And it again, it opened Tuesday night. According to Ben Brantley in the New York Times, the show could not exist. But that Stocker Channing does an excellent job. That's it. but okay. You know, I often say on the show that it's kind of fun to talk about negative reviews because there's always good things there's fun things to say about it. Whereas really good reviews are, you know, what can you say? Oh, I liked that. But he says it's directed a bit stiffly by Daniel Aukin. And it said that. The work never quite achieves a natural flow. I know. But speaking of Stocker Channing, she's One Day at a Time, right? I'm right. One Day at a Time?
What's One Day at a Time?
The Bonnie... Oh, my God. I'm with you. It was a sitcom in the 70s with Stocker Channing and Bonnie Franklin.
Rate. No.
Bonnie Raitt, yes.
Bonnie Raitt is playing backup for James Taylor here.
Oh, wow.
This week, what? I think. I would like to go see that.
Yeah, I would definitely.
Just saying. Anyway, but now I just rewatched The West Wing. So whenever I think of Stocker Channing, I think of Mrs. Bartlett. Excuse me, Dr. Bartlett. Let's see. Oh, and then they talk about one of the things in the show where that everybody has some sort of backstory, and basically they go through the entire cast and characters and they have to give a story. And he said, when someone says, "Did I ever tell you about my father?" you wince in anticipation of the monologue you just know is going to follow. But he had a lot of really great things to say about Stocker Channing, so that's that might be worthwhile to go see. It is closing on December 16th, so we all have time to see it.
I'm gonna rush right up
to the Laurel Pels Theater.
I love a good backstory monologue, just over and over again.
Yeah,
from your father.
Yeah. So that was that show. Oh, you know what I did not say, and I meant to say,
what?
Folks, early voting is starting soon. Who here is voting?
Yes. Duh.
One.
Everyone.
Duh. Yes. Are you voting?
Absolutely.
Okay. I'm not gonna vote. I'm gonna vote. early voting is starting in just about a week, I think.
October 22nd.
October 22nd, and it's really, really important. who not it's really important who you vote for. It's very important that you vote. To me, it's like, I don't care who you vote for, just vote. But also for me, and I must say that the opinions expressed here on Offstage and On the Air are not that of the board of directors or the staff of KOOP, but just mine. To me, who you vote for is pretty important, because the more people that vote tend to vote the way I like them to vote.
Yep.
You know? Mm-hmm. Open up the polls. Get people in. So I'm going to suggest vote. And I will throw this out. If you want to vote yet cannot get yourself to the polls, email me at lisa@offstageonair.com. I will come pick you up and take you to the polls. That's not given in jest. I would absolutely do that. lisa@offstageonair.com. Who remembers Hands on a Hard Body? The movie or the actual thing? Oh, y'all get your mind out of the gutter.
I'm sorry. I'll take the blame on that.
Hands on a Hard Body was a Broadway musical that opened.
Winston tastes good.
Where we're going today. Winston tastes good like a cigarette should. So we had a parody of it as kids, but I won't go into that. So Hands on a Hard Body was a movie based on a true story that happened here in Texas about a contest where you put your hands on there was a specific truck. I forgot which one it was, but you keep it on there, and the first person or the last person to have their hand on the truck gets to keep the truck. And it was a big thing here. There was a movie made out of it, and then there was a Broadway musical, I think 3 or 4 seasons ago, which I thought was kind of wacky, because what's the choreography? It's like you're going to be tap dancing with using the truck body as a bar.
You could do some ballet kicks off the truck.
Exactly.
You know?
You're going to do ballet class using the truck. It is being done by Texas Tech in wherever the heck they are. In Laredo? Where are they? Somebody help me.
Texas.
Anybody?
Is it Lubbock?
Lubbock, thank you. Knew somebody
so
before
you win.
I knew something.
You're doing such a good job.
Anyway, they are building a new theater at Texas Tech, which I think, first of all, I think is great.
Yeah.
And they in Lubbock are doing, or they at the theater or at the school are doing very much like a lot of our local theater companies are doing. They're having to find other places to do their shows. Mm-hmm. So they thought it'd be great. They're going to do Hands on a Hard Body, that they would do it at a dealership. And so they are performing this at a dealership, which is McGavick Nissan at 6312 Milwaukee Avenue.
That's
in case
awesome.
You're driving around. and the playwright and co-composer, Doug Wright and Amanda Green, are going to be there, which I think is really great for those kids in Lubbock at Texas Tech.
Yeah.
So I just thought that was sort of a fun thing to do, to talk about. And we talked about when it was opening on Broadway, or when it opened on Broadway, we had a lot of fun at its expense.
I love that they're doing it at a dealership, just because as in college, I didn't get exposed to doing like immersive theater, or theater outside of like a very traditional proscenium stage. So that they're getting to do that at a dealership is really fun and interesting, and opening a whole new group to something different.
Yeah.
In my era, the immersive theater was like that was relegated to the really crazy avant-garde folks, people that were doing, I'm doing air quotes, like standard theater. In our school, we did everything on a proscenium.
Yeah.
Nothing was done any way else. And so I'm glad. It's good to expose that to college students. Mm-hmm. It's wonderful.
Yeah. Sure.
Speaking of proscenium, so I grew up in theater. I started at the Alley Theater in 1967. And then after the Alley Theater, I moved to the Houston Music Theater, which was also an arena stage. And so the first 5 to 6 years of my theater career, I had never worked on a proscenium. So my norm was round, which I thought was sort of interesting.
Yeah.
Now we never do it anymore. There's a new movie coming out that's got Dick Van Dyke and Angela Lansbury. It's a movie with music called Buttons.
What?
Buttons. A new musical film. It's called Buttons. And it is tells the story of two orphans that are met by some old folks who are Dick Van Dyke and Angela Lansbury, who turn the tide of events and change their lives forever. It's narrated by Robert Redford and Kate Winslet.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
It's also got Jane Seymour and some other people in it. One of the songs, called Nova, is written by somebody named Paul McCartney. I think he had a band in the 80s called Wings.
I don't know that.
Don't know what that is. So I think that's pretty cool. But what's interesting about this movie, it's not going to be general release. It's going to be produced by Fathom Events. And for those of you who are, we got a lot of nods here about Fathom. But Fathom tends to show opera and theater and things like that. And they have it, they film it and show it in movie theaters around the country. And I did not do my homework to say when it was, when and if it's playing here in Austin. But you can find that through doing a search for Fathom Events. Who likes Halloween here?
Oh, yeah.
Me.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I do.
Is anybody not? Me neither. I am not
like
Halloween.
Halloween.
You don't like
Florinda,
no.
You didn't answer.
It's high.
Stay in the middle there.
It's every kid's it's every theater kid's like most favorite holiday, and that was a thing that I was like, I was not interested.
I think children change the tide for you because anything that gives the person that comes home with you a lot of sugar is not fun. So I think that having the children is kind of changed that.
Changes everything.
Changes everything.
All right. Yeah.
Well, now the upside is that I do get to take candy from children and eat by myself while they're sleeping.
There were many a year when all my candy would disappear, or at least the chocolate bits, and I'd be like, where's all the chocolate? And she'd just go, oh, we didn't get any chocolate. I don't remember chocolate.
Yep, that would be us.
The mystery is good. Solved.
The Jimmy Kimmel where he tells the kids that they ate all their candy. Have you seen those videos?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Oh my gosh, it's so amazing. He goes like, he has these parents go into their kids and tell them they ate all their candy, and the kids either go like irate or they cry, and it's awful expense at the terrible thing of like abusing these small children, like not being nice to them, but it's so funny.
Oh my
gosh. Funny to watch. For those of us who don't have kids, like that, right? Yeah. If you have kids, you feel differently. I don't know.
No. I'm just glad that they did not have torturing us for the amusement of the world an option when I was a child.
That it couldn't be posted
I'm
on
so
Facebook,
glad
right?
That, I feel so bad for the children. They're tormented, and then they filmed the kids.
Yeah.
And then they put it on social media. So.
Yeah. I'm very thankful that social media did not exist when I was younger.
Baby,
that,
high five.
Yeah, full high five across the table.
Really jealous right now.
Well, there is a going to be on TV on NBC on October 29th at 9 p.m. here in Austin, Texas. A Very Wicked Halloween with Idina Menzel and Kristen Chenoweth.
Yes!
And an all-star cast of like zillions of people. There are a million Galindas and Elphabas that are going to be there on there. So they are shooting it at the Minskoff Theater. And
doing what?
I don't know.
Wicked with pumpkins?
I think I got a feeling it's going to be a review kind of thing.
Defying gravity with pumpkins.
It's sort of a combination of Wicked and Cinderella when the pumpkin with the
boobity boppity boop.
Yeah, there you go.
But that's
that could be interesting. And of course, we've zipped through the time, and so really the last thing I want to talk about, so we make sure we have plenty of time for all of our hijinks that we're going to do. I do want to suggest that you go to offstageonair.com. There was one thing I wanted to talk about. It was happening in Chicago. Lyric Opera had a strike. The musicians had a strike about the Lyric Opera, and it talks a lot about, and I think that we can relate here in Austin, talks a lot about, and they likened it to the airlines, where you are flying smaller, fuller planes. And so the Lyric Opera has gone from some 95 shows a year to 55, and shrinking the size of the orchestra because there's no money. And it's really a chicken and the egg situation in terms of what you can do and what you can't do. But one of the things that was clear about this and why it's different from the airlines is the arts. There's a public component to the arts. And if the public wants to see arts, they have to pony up and support the arts. And that's something that I think is so important that people don't get. They think that these productions just show up for their enjoyment, and there's no cost to it. But there is. And if you want to live in a city like Austin that has a vibrant art scene, mm-hmm. I think it's important for you to give financially to that art scene. So go to offstageonair.com and read the article about the musician strike. It's really kind of interesting. So in England, have y'all heard of that place?
What's that?
Yeah, it's a different place. The Meunier Chocolate Factory is doing a revival of Fiddler on the Roof. And people that listen to this show know that I just love it. In the cast is, amongst other, Judy Kuhn, who was, I don't know if she was last seen on Broadway in Fun Home, but she was on Broadway in Fun Home, which coincidentally is being done by Ground Floor Theater this year. But I'm just really excited that they're doing another production of Fiddler. I just love it. It opens December 5th. And going to run off to London to see it. Has anybody ever been to the Meunier Chocolate Factory?
No.
It looks really great. There was right now there's a production of, what is it? It's with Aaron Tveit. I don't know, something, but Aaron Tveit is in it. And I saw there was an interview with him. And everybody doesn't know how to pronounce Meunier Chocolate Factory because it looks like Meunier. But it's Meunier. And Aaron Tveit, who nobody can pronounce his name either. Which is pretty easy. It's Tv8, right? It's like one more than Tv7.
Oh my gosh.
Anyway, we're going to take a break and come back and see what's up with Theater on Block. We might also check in a little bit with Max. Or I see him in the lobby riding away. But the song we're going to play as we go out is a song that is not normally played from the Fiddler on the Roof playbook, if you will. It's called Dear Sweet Sewing Machine. Don't go away.
What?
I know.
Model's big sew.
Okay, hold on. Something just happened with my thing, so we're going to get to it. I'm going to just sit here and pretend to talk for a second while I bring it up on the computer. Dear Sweet Sewing Machine. Yeah, it's Model's what? What did you say?
Big song.
Model's big song. Well, he already has a big song.
I know
song.
He has a big song. Maybe it's a second act number.
I don't
the 11 o'clock number.
It's the 11 o'clock number. Yeah.
I don't remember this song.
Dancing Sewing Machine.
Oh. It's
I don't remember that part in Fiddler. Yeah. No, that's just...
All right, here we go. We'll actually listen to it. Dear Sweet Sewing Machine.
Dear Sweet Sewing
Machine. We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps. We are missing our co-host, Nicole Shiro, who is out sick. She's hopefully she's sitting in a bed, drinking some chicken soup, eating chicken soup, and watching TV.
Those chunks. Yeah.
But probably not. She's probably sitting in there working on some project. So we have been talking to lots of fun people, but we're now going to switch gears and talk to the folks directly at Theater on Block. And talk about Until the Flood by Dale Olandersmith.
Orlandersmith.
Oh, I forgot the R.
Yeah.
Well, we'll talk to him about getting rid of it. It's
just a suggestion.
So I love that you guys are doing this piece. It seems very, very important. Tell us what it's about.
Until the Flood is about the complex reactions to the shooting of Michael Brown in Ferguson. So Dale is a spoken word poet and a playwright, and she was commissioned by St. Louis Rep to interview about 100 people. And then from that, unlike Anna Deavere Smith, she then makes composites of characters. So this is a one-woman show exploring the diverse and complex reactions of the community following a traumatic event.
Yeah, so, and Florinda, this is that you are the one woman of this one-woman show.
I am.
So I would think that you in particular probably feel this pretty hard.
Absolutely, yeah. No, I think it's a wonderful opportunity to have a conversation that sadly we have to continue to have. Mm-hmm. But I'm really excited about this piece, given the different points of view that we get to have. I think sometimes in these instances, everything is either black or white,
right
or wrong, and things are so much more complex than that. And Dale does a wonderful job of giving us an opportunity to see the complexities of all of these different reactions.
So we're seeing not only the sides. I mean, most of us, I'm going to guess, those of us that are progressive in nature, tend to see the side of the people of color community in this mm-hmm. in this controversy. But is Dale showing a little bit of the that there's another side to the story?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I get to, you know, the wonderful opportunity embodying there are some white racists that I get to bring to the table.
Lucky you.
Lucky me. And what really is striking is that the times that different characters on different sides of the spectrum will have the exact same language or say the same thing sometimes. So it's really creepy. Yeah. It's really creepy, but it's really, there's something beautiful about being able to see everybody where they are.
Yeah.
And yeah, so definitely.
So Jenny, how did you find this piece?
Stephen Dietz actually had, he and I were having coffee and...
name dropper.
Hey. And he had just seen Dale do the piece in St. Louis. She's been kind of workshopping the piece all around the country for the past year. And he was like, this is right up your alley, right up Theater on Block's alley. And so I read it and immediately thought of Florinda.
Yes.
And unfortunately, like Florinda said, it's a necessary conversation that we still need to have.
Yeah, I know, it's amazing that we have to continually have this. There's so many conversations that we continually have to have, and we keep thinking, why do we have to keep having this conversation?
Right. What I also like about this piece is that, as we've discovered in rehearsal, the characters are so complex. Even the characters that you think you might know, or that you might have them pegged on their point of view, it's complex. It's a complex issue. So that's been really wonderful to discover that.
So I'm guessing it was a pretty big process in for both of you as you're delving into this. And I would assume it's got to be just life-changing to work on it,
mm-hmm.
and hopefully probably life-changing for folks to see it.
Right. Yeah.
All of that.
Okay.
It's in rehearsal. It has been it's been interesting to discover what the two of us, what language we share and what language we are developing in the rehearsal room to talk about these complex issues. And yeah, I think it's a really great opportunity for audiences to.
So I don't know if this is an insensitive thing for me to say or not, but I'm just going to just throw it out there and you can tell me if it's wrong. But the two of you are of different races.
Mm-hmm.
So Florinda, you're a person of color, and Jenny, you're not.
Mm-hmm.
And this deals with some very big issues for the communities of color
mm-hmm.
that white people just can't feel. So how does that play into the dynamic of working on a piece versus if the, and we should say that Jenny's directing this piece,
mm-hmm.
versus if a person of color were directing it? I'm just curious.
I think it's almost been like she said, different definitions. And as a black woman, us having to see like, oh, well, what does this word mean to you? Or what does it mean? You know, what does it mean to you? More specifically, there's a character where she's like, oh, it's me portraying a black woman. And we're like, oh, she has to be warm. She's soft. And I had a moment of recognition that as a black woman, warm, I can only get so warm. White people are usually afraid of us, so I hold my body in a different way.
Sure.
So that what warm means to me, and you know what I mean? It's just those types of things
mm-hmm.
That pop up all the time where it's like, oh, this is supposed to be strong, or what, how I interpret angry. As a black woman, it is dangerous for me to be angry. And so then it takes a second to have to, it takes us time to like find where we're hitting that roadblock, what's exactly behind the roadblock, fall out because the roadblock exists,
yeah.
get back up. Okay, knowing that, how do we proceed? And I think that that has been really challenging and very beautiful. But it's just things like when you're thinking about how something is represented, there are certain things. As a black woman, I can't get angry. How I raise my voice is something real specific. Being asked to do that. Being asked to take up the space that a white man takes up.
I was about
up.
To say, yeah. how is that? How is that? Like, explain that privilege. not only as a white person, but a white male, has got to be kind of wacky.
Yeah, yeah. Specifically white male, ex-cop, holding space. There's been a lot of people watching.
Yeah.
Terrifying to recognize that it took me a long time. Like, I don't just make blank statements. But, and so then we make these discoveries. We fall out. We help each other back up. We get clear about what it was and we keep going. But it has been, I never could have imagined, even though I knew how hard it would be, how hard it would be to try to embody this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And just how obvious it was, how much space, even me, Florinda, who I think I'm very dynamic, and I don't take up as much space as I think I do.
No,
So it was very shocking and hard, but it's good.
Mm-hmm. I don't know how to answer this question. Who wants to go see this? And how is this just, does everybody need to see this piece?
Oh, yeah.
Across the spectrum?
Everybody needs to see this piece across the spectrum.
What about kids? Are kids going to see this piece? Should they see them?
I think teenagers and up. There is some language in the piece. Some of the characters use some pretty strong language. But outside of that, teenagers
and up.
And
you're dealing with issues that just create questions and without solid answers. And one of the things that I like you're doing, which I'm not a big fan of talkbacks, but I would assume that this piece is one that needs talkbacks.
Yes,
and
nightly.
You're providing one nightly.
Yes, every single night, because the piece doesn't have any conclusions.
Right.
It presents what I like about it is there's no slanted point of view really from Dale, that it presents these characters one right after another and then sort of leaves it up to you.
Cool. So when do you guys open?
We open next Friday, October 26th.
And you're at the Vortex?
Yeah.
And how long do you play?
3 weeks till November 10th.
Oh, great. Well, I hope you guys will stick around. First of all, I'm trying to find the thing to say that I don't want to say luck. Best fortune with the show. I hope you guys will stick around and play with us with 1448 and maybe even come backstage.
Yeah.
Awesome. That was Jenny Lavery and Florinda Bryant. I didn't ask you this, although I know the answer, but where should folks go to get more information?
At the theaterunblock.org or vortexrep.org.
Okay, great. Again, that was Jenny Lavery and Florinda Bryant. They were Theater Unblock Until the Flood by, and let's see if I can get this, Dale Orlander Smith.
Yes.
Yay!
Yay.
October 26th through November 10th at the Vortex. For more information, theaterunblock.org. This song is just amazing. I think it's apropos.
The law's been...
Hi, I'm Audrey.
And I'm Lori.
And we're the Radio City Rockettes. And just for kicks, you're listening to Offstage and On the Air on KOOP, Hornsby, Austin, 91.7 FM.
That was great. That's the Radio City Rockettes that were here. And we had them do a legal ID. That was fun. We have another one of them that's a little bit more playful. I like the playful ones versus the non-playful ones. So I want to check in real quick with Max Langert and see how he's doing on this play. How you doing?
Fine. I feel much better now than I did 10 minutes ago.
Good. So I gave that actually was my theme, right. And I gave some backstory to it. I don't know whether you heard that in the lobby.
I heard a little bit of it, okay. But I did not use that.
Good. Thank God. Because I didn't want you to. After you left the room, that's when I gave the backstory. But then I realized that we're on a 40-second delay, right. And that you would hear it eventually outside in the lobby. So you're doing good.
Yeah.
How far along are you?
I'm almost done with the rough draft. I'm going to just make a couple tweaks. I'm hoping I get like 3 or 4 more minutes and then we're going to print it out. I talked to Charlie and we'll be good to go.
Good. Well, great. Get back. Keep working.
All right. Be right back. Thanks.
Okay. Awesome. This is so much fun. I may have to do this every week. Get different playwrights in here. My thing is out of order here. So locally, I wanted to talk. Here's something sort of fun. Waitress, which is the Broadway tour, is coming here. They are looking to bring on a couple of young girls locally.
A small child.
Yes, a small child. And they are having auditions on November 8th at the McCullough Theater from 10 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. and 1 p.m. to 1:30 p.m. And this is it's called The Search for Lulu. And if you are interested, you need to, there's a sign-up link, but I'm just going to tell you to go to austin.broadway.com and search for Lulu Auditions in Austin. And that would be so awesome for a couple. Do you think I'm too old?
No.
I was just wondering the same thing, Lisa.
4 to 5 year olds.
Let's go
four to 5 year olds. You and me. They can just stop looking right now.
Go, all of this country just breaking down doors, me and Lisa.
Somebody's got to do it.
And that is a show in itself. We'll talk to you about that later.
And we have TexArts. They're opening on the 19th, an unexpected guest. Agatha Christie show out there in
Lakeway.
J. Robert Moore is directing it. He's been a guest on this show, and it has Aaron Black, Mary Cox, Sarah Fleming Walker, Jeff Jeffers, Brandon Lindsay, Tyler Keyes, Carson Petox. Don't know this person. Anybody? Okay. Yeah. Val Williams and Ben Wolf, the incomparable Ben Wolf.
Ben.
And that plays October 19th. For more information, texarts.org, I'm guessing, or I found this on Now Playing Austin. Finally, what else did I want to talk about? Oh, let's go to Today in Theater History, shall we?
Ooh, yes. Yes,
we shall. Today we shall. In Theater History. Oh, well, no. I was going to talk about 1448. We're going to do that later, so never mind. Today in theater history, it was a jam-packed day in theater history. We're going to start back in 1888.
Oh, my gosh.
It was the Broadway premiere of Gilbert and Sullivan's The Yeoman of the Guard. I've seen The Yeoman of the Guard. Do you not know that one?
Not at all.
Yeah. It was done by the Gilbert and Sullivan Society here about, I'd say, 5-6 years ago.
Okay.
It goes a little bit like this. I am the yeoman of the guard. I just made that up.
Oh, my God.
You're cast.
This is the birthday of Arthur Miller, who wrote All My Sons and The Crucible and something called A Death of a Salesman, which it might get somewhere. But, okay, so he was born on this day. Can anybody guess the year?
Oh, my gosh.
It's after 1888.
For who?
Arthur Miller.
Arthur Miller. Jenny's not paying attention. Pay attention.
Just thinking about Halloween.
I'll give you a hint. He was born 10 years before my father.
Oh, that's helpful.
Yeah, I know.
I'm ready.
1915.
15? I was going to
close. 1915. This is also the birthday of Cameron Mackintosh. Who is that producer who produced those little tiny shows, The Phantom of the Opera, Les Miserables, Miss Saigon, and Cats. So how do you feel about the Cats movie, by the way?
Oh, we'll find out when we see it. I'm holding a hopeful,
December 2019, so we have to wait a little over a year.
No.
I'm not excited.
Why don't people just let it die?
Just let it die.
No.
It's bad enough they revived it on Broadway and did exactly the same as the first time.
I don't want to watch it.
I'm going to watch it.
Hard pass.
Do you?
Hard
have you pass. Seen it? Do you like
no,
it?
No, I haven't seen it. Yeah. So I'm really curious to see what it looks like.
Lot of spandex.
Lots of makeup. How would you like to have to do that makeup every night?
Oh, God.
Oh, my goodness.
No.
It is gorgeous, I have to say. The makeup is pretty amazing that they do.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't agree?
No, it's just...
It's very...
It's they've been doing it for so long.
Very cat-like, the makeup. Very cat-like.
It is very feline.
The touring production came through my college when I was there, and the set was inflatable.
Oh.
Like, yeah, they pumped in a bunch of air, and it, like, made the back wall. It was crazy.
Like a planetarium.
Like a planetarium.
That's awesome.
So I guess I'm very proud to say I have never seen it. I lived in New York.
Wow.
Most of my 20 years in New York, it was playing, and I never went to see it. I tried to watch. They did do there's a video of it, the original cast, the Betty Buckley cast. I could not get through it. Just
I slept through it.
Yeah.
What?
In the theater.
I saw it.
Today in 1951 was Walter's first day as a guest critic at the Herald Tribune. He stayed there for 15 years, and I knew him both for most of my time in New York. He was the chief critic of the New York Times, Walter Kerr. The Ritz Theater was renamed in his honor in 1990. And in 1954 is also the birthday of Susan Stroman, who I've had the pleasure to work with a couple times, so that's always nice.
And what?
She did industrial shows, so she choreographed a whole bunch of, choreographed and directed a bunch of industrial shows that I did. But she's best known for The Producers, Crazy for You, Showboat, amongst other things. She also did Contact, which I love. Did anybody see Contact?
I don't think so.
It was. No. It got a lot of. It took a lot of shade, which is a term we didn't use back then. But it was a dance show. It was. Yeah. It was all dance. There was. So it was really quite beautiful. So this is also the anniversary of the opening of Tenderloin, which opened at the 46th Street. This was a Bach and Harnick show. They also wrote Fiorello. Are you going like you've never heard of it?
No.
Yep. Never heard of
it. Never heard of it?
No.
Tenderloin?
Tenderloin.
Like
the
pork?
Tenderloin.
Like pork.
Or like
no,
the district.
Like the Tenderloin district.
Yeah, there we go.
Okay. Okay. How about On a Clear Day You Can See Forever? Anybody heard of that one?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. So in 65, they did a revival of it starring Barbara Harris and John Cullum.
Even if I hadn't heard of it, I would have said yes.
Well, you know, they just did a revival recently with Harry Connick Jr. And Jesse Mueller in 2011. Mm-hmm. So this I found kind of interesting. In 1966, La Mama Et Cetera Experimental Theater Company, they made headlines when Ellen Stewart threatened to close the theater because Actors Equity refused her to allow her actors to work below scale. So it says her 74-seat theater prevents her company from making enough money to pay her actors the minimum wage required by Equity. After a month, of course, Equity conceded and gave away, allowed them to work below scale. That's that. 1982, revival of True West. Sam Shepard. Yes, anybody?
Yes.
We're getting
close.
Yes. Yes. This one was directed and starred by Gary Sinise, along with John Malkovich and Sam Schacht. This was the Cherry Lane production in Chicago. Didn't make it onto Broadway until 2000 with Philip Seymour Hoffman and John C. Reilly.
Oh wow!
I get them mixed up.
You do? Sometime.
Yeah. In my mind, I don't know why. this is one you probably 2001 by Jeeves opened on Broadway. It had previews.
Yes.
Andrew Lloyd Webber. It had a 10-week it had a 10-week run, goodness. And it's his shortest run on Broadway ever. I know.
10 weeks. It made ten it weeks. 10 whole weeks. That's impressive.
I know. And in 2002, there was a revival of Flower Drum Song with David Harry Huang. Why would I pronounce the H? So they talk about a lot of the issues around Asian actors in theater. Mm-hmm. Was doing that. That's a Rodgers and Hammerstein piece. Other birthdays. Irene Ryan. Anybody know who Irene Ryan was?
No.
You know. Well, she's best known as playing Granny in the Beverly Hillbillies.
Yeah.
But she also played the grandmother in Pippin, original Pippin, which I don't know if this is an urban myth or it's true. I'm going to hold on to that it's true. I believe she died during the run of Pippin, and I think that she did her number. It's time to start living, stepped off stage and passed away.
Oh my gosh.
Which is actually kind of the way you want to go if you're a performer.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
finished,
true.
Because that was the end of her show.
Yeah.
She didn't have to come back on stage. Well, curtain call. They wheeled her out. That was bad.
We got dark.
Also,
we got
yeah, right.
dark.
It's also the birthday of Rob Marshall, David Cromer, amongst other people. All right.
Woo-woo.
Are we good?
Yeah.
All right. Are we excited? I see Max Langert out there with paper in hand, ready to go. So let's take a little break. Let's listen to a little bit. My favorite song from Flower Drum Song. Sometimes I play obscure ones, but this one is just fun.
100 million miracles.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps. This is Puppy Streams live as well on KOOP.org. So you can listen to us in many, many ways. We just had a great conversation with Florinda Bryant and Jenny Lavery about their show Until the Flood. And now we're going to talk to the whole group again. And specifically, 1448 and the crew here with them is Chad Dyke. Welcome back, Chad.
Hi.
Sweet Van Loan.
Hello.
Who's got the best name in the room. and Mr. Max Langert.
Hi.
Who had the hardest job here today. So we all have scripts in hand, so we're very excited about this, but we're not going to do that right now. Chad.
Yeah.
How many years have you been doing 1448 here in Austin?
This is our fifth year in Austin. So
it's fifth year.
Yeah.
It started in Seattle, right?
It started in Seattle.
1997.
Yes.
Yeah.
A little bit ago, and they've been running there for forever. They've actually expanded out to do international, and then they brought it down to Austin. And so we've been doing it here for 5 years.
Wow.
Yeah. So we do 7 plays in 24 hours, and then we decide to do it all over again the next day.
So our audience just learned a little bit of the process.
Yeah.
So we choose a theme, mm-hmm. the playwright goes out and writes it. That happens overnight, correct?
Yeah.
What happens in the morning?
So in the morning, the actors and the directors arrive. The director then pulls actors' names out of a hat based on the number that they have been given for their play. Those actors are then cast in that show. They go off and they rehearse. They come back and we do a performance. That night at 7:30 and then 10. So yeah,
that's pretty amazing. And I'm actually a big fan of these kinds of festivals, and we have the 10 Minute Play Festival right. here. We have 60 and 60, and this is yet another take on that type of thing. And I really think it brings out the creativity and everything. Sweet, how long have you been doing this?
I just did it last year as an actor.
You did as act year? Okay. How'd you find the process for the first year? Do you like it?
Oh my gosh, yeah. I told them immediately. I was like, when are we doing this again? Is this next week? Are we doing it next week? No?
Okay. And this year, what are you doing?
I'll be acting again, and then I'll also be doing playwriting.
Playwriting.
Yeah.
So I should say that oftentimes you will have people doing the Friday, but not necessarily the Saturday.
Right.
So are you going to be playwriting the same day that you're going to be acting?
Yes.
Are you going to be playwriting and acting both days?
Yes. Well, no. I'm going to be playwriting on the first night uh-huh. and acting, and then the next day I'll be acting.
Good. Probably
I need
smart.
To sleep eventually.
And Max, you did this last year, didn't you?
This will be my fourth year.
Fourth year. Wow. Yeah. So do you like, tell, first of all, well, tell us how you feel generally about doing it. You've done this. You've also been part of 10 Minute Play Festival. You've done a lot of these types of things around town.
Yeah, it's exciting. This one is particularly, it's such a crunch, right? You sort of get the clock starts ticking immediately as soon as you get the prompt. And so it's sort of, for me, it's a sort of fun adrenaline rush to try to get this thing done and feel under that pressure. And it's really scary. But then once you're done, it feels great. So it's like, you know, it's a great kind of challenge for me.
And tell us how you feel. So today we chose probably the worst one in the whole bunch. Thank you, Lisa. Winston Tastes Good. Tell us how you felt when you, your visceral reaction, and then when you had time to mull it over a little
right.
bit.
Right. I was like, oh my God, what the hell is this going to be like? But it's fun. When it's specific like that, sometimes it can be fun because you're looking for alternate ways or ways to use a certain word or phrase that might not come to mind at first. So I was trying to figure out something that would be different from what you, for example, you know, had
right.
in mind when you came up with it. So,
well, that's
so
not what I had in mind. It was the stream of consciousness.
No, yeah, it's good. I think that's kind of fun, actually. So yeah, it's seeing what people do. Sometimes the themes we get are very general, like love hurts, and then people just write a bunch of sort of romantic things.
Yep.
Sometimes it's very specific, like Winston Tastes Good, and then you get a lot of weird things, you know.
Yeah, there,
a lot
it
of
could,
characters
lots of
Winston,
yeah,
yeah.
strength. So Chad, what you're an organizer
yeah.
of this, but do you also direct and or act in these?
I have directed and acted in uh-huh. them before in the past, yeah. And it's a really fun challenge as a director. The goal is to kind of get it up on its feet and start moving. Again, just like Max said, it's a time crunch. The thing with this whole festival is it's all very meant to be random. So it's a random draw of a theme. It's a random draw of a number of actors. It's a random draw of a number of the actors acting the show. It's a random draw of the order of the show. So it's all that randomness adds to just kind of the fun and the element that's happening.
Right. So Friday morning,
yeah.
Everybody will get together and the directors will choose a play out
yep.
randomly.
Yep.
And then the actors will be chosen at random from a
yep.
bag as well.
Exactly.
And I have the honor of directing this year
yeah.
for the first time. And, you know, who knows? Sweet, maybe you'll be in my cast.
I'm really hoping thing. So.
Or you might be right. So. Or you might be directing her play. So you never
oh
know.
My gosh.
Never know. Oh, that's true. That'd
yeah,
be great. What, if,
we,
what if it was both?
Oh, would I be able to?
I don't. It's all random.
Random.
We don't know.
That would be so
all right.
cool.
So let's play, shall we? Sounds good. So we all have these scripts in our hands. I guess we're going to be doing them cold. I have not had time to read them. Maybe some other people have.
Yeah. Can I set it up real quick?
Yeah, we need you to set it up.
So it takes place in London. You're playing the Queen, Lisa.
Oh.
So maybe an accent is in order.
Yeah, then, good luck. You are going to get my version of Mary Poppins. Dick Van Dyke's Mary Poppins.
And then Florinda, I've got you as a royal magistrate, so if you feel like doing some kind of accent-y thing. And then the other three, your characters are your names, and you can be British if you want or not. It doesn't really matter too much.
Okay, well, do you want to read the little stage directions for us? And then we'll just start.
Yes, I will. I should have got another copy. So this is it's called The Funeral. Scene. It is a pale gray winter morning in London. We hear the chimes of Big Ben fading out, followed by single drum beating, and then rhythmic boots upon pavement. Jenny, Chad, and Sweet are here, dressed for the occasion of a funeral.
Oh, God, these things are always so tedious.
Tell me about it.
Remember, the whole thing is being televised, so...
None of our obvious eye-rolling, Jenny. None of your obvious eye-rolling, Jenny. Especially when the cameras are nearby.
But I can't help it.
We're remembering and celebrating a very famous, very significantly historical individual today.
No duh.
We got the memo, Sweet.
I'm so hungover right now.
Shh. Long Island iced teas, right?
They always getcha.
I don't trust anything that comes out of New York.
Ahem. The time has come for respect, for dignity, for posture that will make our queen proud.
Oh, come on. The queen never comes to these dopey things till the last minute.
You call that respect?
Hey, she does what she can. I mean, she's a busy woman.
You want to talk about busy? Try waiting tables for a bunch of drunk parliamentarians at 3 o'clock in the morning while you're wearing high heels.
Sounds kind of fun, actually.
Ahem. On this particular occasion today, the Queen is doing something different. She's breaking precedents.
Oh, please.
The Queen breaking precedent when hell freezes over.
Well, hello.
Oh. My God.
She's right behind us.
What the hell?
Winston Churchill meant more to me than any man, possibly including my very own husband.
Weird.
Totally.
I have been here for hours upon hours in order to show that I am a woman of real depth and affection.
It's going to take a lot more than that.
Hush, Chad.
Additionally, there's something I've always wondered about Winston. But I've been too much of a lady to investigate while he was alive.
Oh, mysterious.
La-dee-da.
Respect, citizens.
My apologies.
It looks like it's almost time to visit the cadaver.
Oh, I've been waiting for this.
Cadaver?
Who talks like that?
Hear ye, hear ye. Clear the way for the queen.
So pompous.
Pompous and circumstantial.
You're ridiculous.
I know.
All right, queen. There is now space for you. Please visit the coffin.
And now... On behalf of the people of England, I will kiss your forehead, Winston, my dear, dear man.
Whoa, she's putting her royal lips on another man.
Has this ever happened before?
Guess we'd have to ask her husband.
To all of you minions out there, I have something to say. My intuition was correct. The rumors can be put to rest now. It is true. Winston tastes good.
Oh, my.
Brilliant.
Lovely.
Oh, my God.
End of play.
Well, applause. Well, that was a bit of fun. Thank you.
You never know what's going to happen.
You never know. So if Max is okay, we can... post the script on offstageonair.com with show notes.
It's like getting published is awesome.
Great. So, Chad, tell us when the show plays.
It plays this weekend, Friday and Saturday.
And you come both nights, right? Because it's going to be different.
Yeah, it's different plays both nights. So if you can come on Friday, come on Friday and Saturday, it's going
to
be awesome.
And where can folks go to get more information?
Go to groundfloortheater.org is the best place to get stuff.
Everything.
Yeah, everything.
You can get everything there.
Anything you
want.
Well,
thank you, everybody. Three cheers to all of us for doing a great job performing on that.
That was amazing.
Okay, so that was Chad Dyke, Max Langert, Sweet Van Loan, Jenny Lavery, and Florinda Bryant with our play, Winston Tastes Good, and then 1448, which is happening Friday and Saturday at 7:30 and 10 o'clock at Ground Floor Theater. For more information, groundfloortheater.org. We will be right back.
Write what you know, Tom.
Okay, we're back. You're listening to Lisa Shepps at Offstage and on the Air. We've completely run out of time. Remember, we are available as a podcast, and that way you can hear things that you don't hear here on the radio, which is our backstage at Offstage, where we learn a little bit more about our guests. You can get it through iTunes, or you can get it by going to offstageonair.com and just signing up on the website. We'll send it right to your mailbox, as we like to say. So this was a really great show. I'm sorry that, young Nicole wasn't here to enjoy it with us, but I just need to do a golf clap for our, I'm going to call it the Offstage On Air Players.
Oh, yeah.
You guys did a great job. Any thoughts about that? We've got like 30 seconds. Any thoughts about the about doing that cold and peace there?
I just wonder what it's like to live in Max's head right now.
Oh,
those British accents. I mean, those were just lovely. Yeah. So good.
That was a little mean.
Nailed it.
No, I love it. I like how, yeah.
Okay. Well, British accents notwithstanding. We will be back next week when we look at what's happening offstage and on the air. See you, folks.
I've been bit on my finger. It could have been my leg. It could have been my head. I might have died. In a time of mortal peril.
Well, the curtain has just come down on Winston Tastes Good, the brand new Broadway hit starring Lisa Sheps as Queen Elizabeth I. So we've left the theater, we've gone backstage, we're sitting out here by the dumpsters, and we're chit-chatting. So unfortunately, Jenny and Florinda had to go, but we saved the best to talk to. We have Chad Dyke. Hi, Chad.
Hi.
Max Langert.
Hey.
And Sweet Van Loan.
Hello.
So, Chad, you and Max have been backstage before, have you not?
Yeah, I have.
Yeah. Max, you have.
I have been on the show before, yeah.
The backstage section. Yeah. So, I'm going to start with Sweet. Where'd you come from, Sweet?
Where'd you come from? Galaxy far, far away.
Dun, 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 dun.
No, I've lived in Austin for quite a while, so I consider myself mostly from Austin, but I am from the East Coast.
You are. We discussed that before we went on the air.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were following each other around.
Yeah.
New York and Chicago.
Yeah.
So when did you, I'm presuming, are you an actor? Is that what you are?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. And how did you find yourself into theater? What got you there?
I did a lot of stage work, actually for my grandmother's church. She was a pastor. Uh-huh. So I did a lot of those plays. And then I kind of just fell into theater with a bunch of people that, just liked working on stage, but they weren't particularly trained.
Right.
Got some training myself, and I'm theater background now mostly, and nowadays I enjoy doing festivals more than anything else. Yeah,
festivals like 1448.
Oh yes.
Okay. What other festivals do you enjoy doing?
There was one where we did a play in, I think it was an hour.
Like the whole thing,
the
from
whole
start to
thing.
Finish.
They wrote it.
Well,
and
I
then,
think we just did that, didn't we?
Yeah,
we
that's why I had so much
half
fun.
Half hour, actually.
The half hour, which now I can put that on my belt.
Right. Well, that maybe we'll make this an annual thing.
Oh my gosh, I am so down.
we could actually do like three little plays in an hour.
That would be amazing.
So what I'm hearing is you sort of do you like doing the festival scene.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like you're not doing Beckett or Simon. You're doing
not in a while.
Wacky, crazy things.
Yeah.
Would you prefer to do that original work versus something more established?
I think it really depends, and it depends on the people that are in your ensemble, of course, mm-hmm. the people that you're working with. I find that really people make things great. So if you're working with a passionate group who's funny and fun-loving and willing to work hard, then you're just going to have the time of your life.
Where did you get your training? You said you got yourself a little training.
I got myself a little bit of training.
Got yourself some training? Whereabouts?
Mostly in college. And then there was a little theater troupe called the Yellow Project that was here.
The Yellow Project?
Yeah. It was. We were puppetry, and we did acting in more like a kind of impromptu work.
You're like an improv puppet corps.
Yeah, I guess so. I feel weird like throwing puppetry up there. But yeah, we did a lot of puppetry.
Yeah. Improv puppet. Puppet was my sorority name in college.
But get yourself a little puppet of yourself.
So do you do any improv work? Like that's not puppet related?
You know, I find that most of my best improv work is puppet related.
No? Do you also make puppets?
I don't make really good puppets. Oh, well, but,
nobody's putting judgment on things.
I can put one together, yeah. Don't ask me if it lasts longer than like 10 minutes, though.
Yeah, I haven't. I did a few years ago, they did Avenue Q in my theater.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
I just tried to work with the puppets. It's not easy.
No.
It's not easy because your hands want to do opposite what your mouth is doing.
Yeah. Really. Yeah. People want to chew the words versus opening your mouth to speak. And you're like, what?
Yeah, it's just, and it's it takes a lot of thought. Yeah.
It does.
So kudos to those that do it. Max, have you ever done puppetry?
No, I was just practicing with my hand while you're doing that.
Well, we could spend our time talking with our hands.
Yeah. Oddly enough, I've got some in the car, I think.
Bring them in. It could have been part of our... The awesome. Queen probably would have liked to have played with those.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
You have goals and ambitions? You look relatively young.
Sorry. Well, thank you.
Of course, everybody looks young to me. I'm old.
Yeah, I'm a 90s kid, so I guess technically we're young?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know anymore.
I don't know. Don't make me do math.
I won't do that to you. But yeah, I love theater. I love film. I'm an author. I love writing. So
talk to us about that. What's that? What kind of writing do you do?
I'm mostly spy-fi.
Spy-fi?
Yeah. I think my mom coined the word, or maybe she stole it from somebody else. I'm not really sure.
Your mom the preacher?
No, that was my grandmother.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Well, no. My mother is not a preacher.
Far from it.
But I started writing when I was probably... I think I was 10, and I brought my mom this long book with many, many spelling errors, and she just thought it was great.
So spy-fi, I'm guessing, is like a whodunit in a sci-fi kind of atmosphere.
It's more like James Bond meets total BS,
Like normal James Bond, then.
Yeah, essentially.
Is it tongue-in-cheek, or is it, I mean, it's supposed to be funny? Or is it...
I think some of it is, because I can't help myself. Yeah. But for the most part, it's just kind of being goofy and coming up with these crazy ideas. Basically, there are no rules in the writing.
So I'm guessing these are done in prose style versus dialogue.
There's a lot of dialogue.
But in prose versus, I didn't mean dialogue, as opposed to a play or a poem.
Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Cool. Max, have you ever said, first of all, Max, I want you to get that microphone closer to your mouth. Yes. Have you done any writing that is not in play format?
I have. Yes, I have. I haven't.
Okay, thanks for being on the show.
Yeah. Next.
I was thinking that when I was 10 years old, I brought my parents a story. But it was, I don't know if it had spelling. It was very short. It was, and it, like, the punchline was there was a chicken on somebody's head. Like, that was very funny to me at the time. So that's all I had.
Did your parents find it funny?
Still funny to me.
I think
today.
My parents, my mother, I'm sure, laughed, and my father probably shrugged it off and said, keep following that dream.
don't quit your day job, young Max. Yeah. What about you, Chad? Have you ever written anything? Do you write?
I mean, I was a creative writing minor in college, so I wrote, but I am not a long format writer. I wrote poetry, very short poetry. I can't write anything
haikus.
Long. Yeah. The least amount of words as possible. Yeah, I never wanted to write things like more than a page. So
I wrote light verse, like doggerel. I was quite proficient in that, and for a long time. But I haven't written anything in a long, long time.
Yeah, I haven't either.
Yeah, have you ever written a play?
Yes. Well, it wasn't any good.
What was it called?
I don't even know now.
Winston tastes good.
Well, I'm actually we're working on my very first devised piece ever.
Oh yeah.
And so as part of our exercise in working this thing through, we all just wrote scenes, and so I wrote a few scenes.
Yeah.
That basically for me it was kind of stream of consciousness, but I liked them. I liked what I did, so it was kind of fun.
Yeah, I mean, I've done devised work, so I've written some scenes for
Divisey.
That. Yeah. But it does, I don't know, that doesn't feel like a, like even like Winston tastes good, like that doesn't feel like the same thing, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah. We're always harder on ourselves when it comes to our own work,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, that's probably true.
True. So, Chad, where did you go to school?
Went to Center College in the middle of Kentucky.
Center? Well, why? Yeah, that's why it's called Center.
That's exactly why.
In the what the heck is that? Who's ever heard of that?
No one has.
You don't look like a Kentucky kind of person.
I am almost born and raised in Kentucky.
Are you?
Yeah.
Where?
Louisville, Kentucky.
Louisville.
Yeah. Okay. So I was born in Indiana, and we moved to Kentucky when I was very.
Do you want to talk about Mitch McConnell at all? Or
no, okay. Never the turtle. I don't want to.
Oh my! Let's not go there.
Sorry. I'm not allowed to say that. I apologize.
By the way, so with this podcast, the rules are slightly different. Vote Democratic, please. Go ahead.
Yes, please.
There we go.
So you went to Center, did they have a theater department there?
They did. Yeah. I mean, we had 1,000 students total in my school. So it's very, very small program. And so I think total in the theater department, there were 25 students from freshmen to seniors.
So that's college,
yeah.
We're talking. 1,000 people in the college.
Yeah, it's very small.
Is it accredited?
No. Yes, 100%. But it's tiny. It's a private school. It's really small. And I thought I was going to hate it, and I loved it because of the fact, I thought the smallness was going to be the thing that I hated, but I ended up loving it because I did everything. I got to direct. I got to learn lighting design. I did costume design. I got to act in all the shows.
Did they have a campus with a theater?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's our theater was in a Frank Lloyd Wright Foundation building. So it actually was the worst foray theater because the carpet in the theater was bright orange.
Oh, no.
And it was meant to originally be in Arizona. So it had all very Arizona colors, like these nice reds and greens, and that didn't fit in the middle of this beautiful pastoral section of Kentucky. But it was fun.
That is crazy.
Yep.
And you work now for Zach Theater.
Yes, I do.
So I just thought I'd throw that out.
Thanks.
Let people know that's what you do. Do you also work for Zach Theater?
I do. I'm a teaching artist.
Okay. A TA, we call those.
Yeah.
I don't know. Sometimes.
The people in the know do.
And Max, do you work at Zach Theater?
I knew you were going to ask that. No, but I have seen a couple of shows there.
Have you seen Once yet?
No, I'm going to see that, I think, next weekend.
How many times are you going to see it? Once.
I can't. I'm not falling for it.
Once.
No, not
that's the right.
You're going to see it once is the correct answer.
There you go.
I don't know that I'm going to get to go over see it. Oh, so, Max, where are you from originally? Are you from this area?
I grew up in Northern California.
Northern California. Oakland, San Francisco?
Yeah. Oakland. Oakland, yeah.
Well, that may as well be San Francisco.
Okay.
No, Oakland is actually, it's now got its own.
It's very hip
now, used to be the. It used to be kind of the joke of the Bay Area,
yes.
And now it's not.
Yeah, it's less cheap or less expensive than San Francisco, I think it's.
And what brought you to Texas?
I feel like you asked me that 2 years
ago.
Did
I ask you? Okay. So, well, you can't expect me to remember everything.
I was kind of moving around. I was actually living in New York, like you guys, and then looking for sort of between jobs and things, so looking for a new place to go. And then I had a roommate in New York who had gone to UT and was like, you got to check out Austin. And it has a lot of things that I like about New York and California and its own sort of Texas-y thing. So it seemed like a good place to
live. I don't see the New York here, but I'm going to just take your word for it.
Okay. You mean here?
Yeah, in Austin.
I don't see
any New York here. At all.
It's got a creative vibe. Maybe
it does have a creative vibe.
Yeah. And the driving. Don't forget the driving.
Don't forget the driving or the not driving. was anybody caught in the floods this weekend?
No.
Fortunately,
thankfully.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. What? It took out an entire bridge.
I know.
Mm. Yeah.
That's wackadoo.
Yep.
Raining a lot.
So Max, back to you. What fun projects do you have in the future?
Well, I'm doing 1448 this weekend.
Yeah.
Really excited about it.
Are you doing both days?
No, I'm just doing one. They're letting me take a break. So yeah, I'm doing the first day, but I'll certainly be back for the second day to watch whatever happens. That's it. I'm doing actually a storytelling event on November 4th. That's sort of like a political something or other that I'm trying to write something for.
Tell us about it. I love storytelling.
Yeah, I don't know. Actually, I'm waiting for more details, but it's going to be at the Hard Luck Lounge, and it's going to be sort of whatever it's about. I'm putting together a story about elections and politics.
And are you going to be reading your story?
I'm going to try to memorize it. I like to sort of memorize it, but I will be presenting the story.
You'll be presenting the story.
Yeah.
That rocks. Have you done storytelling before?
I have, yeah. I got into it a few years ago, and I really like it. It's sort of easier than stand-up comedy because it's already written, but it's
true.
But it has a similar feel.
And stand-up comedy is you have to have major cojones to do stand-up comedy. Have you done storytelling, Chad?
I haven't. It'd be fun.
What about you?
No, I haven't. No,
me neither. Sounds good. I love like The Moth. I love like all of those different, the Mortified, all the different kind of
Mortified. I think I want to do Mortified. I was a very prolific journaler.
Oh, you should do
for
it
for a while, and yeah. I probably have some very interesting journal entries that could. But that would take a lot of courage that I don't know that that I possess.
Like you stand-up can do comedy, it.
Right?
I think stand-up comedy takes more courage.
We should all get out of here and find one of those places with open mics and just do it.
Just do it.
I don't want
to
do it.
All right, I'll make a commitment to do that.
I would do it if you guys are Wednesday afternoon.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Let's do it.
Hard pass.
Friday night after the show. Between the 7:30 show and the
great.
Oh my gosh.
So does Zach slow down during the school year?
In the education department, I mean, it slows down for me kind of in the like administrative side of things. Yeah, it slows down a little bit, but I mean, we have classes running for 12 weeks, so they keep going. You know, we've had a little bit of a break these past couple weeks with ACL. We take off on Saturday, so it's a little less,
chiller. Noisy there during ACL.
It's noisy, and just that they turn to me going the opposite direction, so it goes towards Lamar, so you can't, like, getting to our theater is a hot mess.
I did an interview when y'all are doing Toad and Frog, and I did the interview in the dressing rooms, and it was during ACL, and it was very loud the dressing rooms at Zap.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Sure.
So what age group do you teach?
Right now I have a second and third grade group, and then I have one that is first grade all the way up to 12th grade. It's a musical theater class.
Oh, cool. So are you a musical theater person?
You know, it's funny. I really wanted to be, but like I probably could run down the list of my favorite musicals. But really, if it's dancing, I can handle that. But when it comes to singing, I'm shy about it.
Okay,
it's
time
strange.
To take some lessons.
Definitely need to do that.
You need to do that. So, spout off your favorite musical. What would you like to do if you had your choice?
We talked earlier about Cats.
No.
I know.
No.
I know.
I can't because, of course, I cannot do this. I'm going to make you choose a second because my shtick here is I'm going to be playing the music in the background during this, and I just can't play Cats.
Okay. I'll go with a close second, Chicago.
Chicago. Mm. Any particular role?
Matron Mama Morton.
Yeah.
Gotta do it.
You're good to Mama. I'd like to play that too. That'd be kind of fun.
Yeah.
I think I could play the hell out of that one.
I think you could too.
It's a fun song.
I would also like to play, I would like to do the MC in Cabaret.
Yes.
What else would I like to do? I don't know. What would you like to do? Is there a role you would want to do, Chad?
Oh, I don't know. Does it have to be a musical?
No, it doesn't have to be a musical.
I don't know. No, I don't think I have one. I don't think I have one that like I really want to definitely do. Yeah. I'm open to a lot of things.
What about you, Max?
I'm not a big musical guy, but I would play the lead in Once if somebody handed me a guitar and like, you know, that sounds good. Yeah, that's a good movie. Yeah. I like that.
It's a good movie. Yeah. It's a good show.
It's a good show.
I also would like to do, I think it's the the old actor in The Fantastics.
Oh my goodness.
That
was
fun to do
that
as
would
well.
Be fun.
All right. Well, we'll leave here while we're listening to the maleficent tone of Madam Matron Marble Middle, whatever her name is, in the background.
Oh, Mama Morton.
Mama Morton. All right. We'll see you guys.
Bye. Thanks, Lisa.